When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. The shame no longer has a place to hide. Not a captive to life. I'm afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I
house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Welcome to Spokane First Baptist Church. We have come here this morning to worship God Almighty. We cannot do that without the presence of the Spirit of God, and let's invite him now. Father, thank you for the privilege of worship. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together. And I pray that we right now get ourselves in tune with you, that your Spirit will come and anoint, dear Father, that we may sense your presence, that we may hear your voice, that you may lead and guide and give strength this morning. And we praise you for this opportunity, and it's for your glory alone. Amen. Let me ask a question. Is the djembe too loud out there? Okay, we have it set for a little girl last week, and we didn't change it.
We've been asking it to be this loud for a while. So
yeah, we can.
Thank you for the mistake.
Up here, we feel it.
Thumbs up. We're going to be in the big book this morning. Turn to page 514. 514.
Sing your sorrow, 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 sing your sorrow,
greet one another this morning.
As you make your way back to your seats, turn to page 203.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now, and you won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out, and yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for when my heart is heavy, oh, my days, oh, yes, I will. As I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Oh, my days. Oh, yes, I will. And I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names that nothing can stand against. And I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names that nothing can stand against. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Oh, my days. Oh, yes, I will. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see the beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am. To say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to this earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Oh, your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Oh, your way is better. And I will make room for you.
I pray that that's the prayer of every single one of us in here. Whatever you want in my life, would I surrender to that? Whatever your perfect plan of blessing is. Because true freedom, true peace, true joy only comes when we surrender all that we are. when we lay it down before you and say, God, use my life as you see fit for the praise and the glory of your kingdom. And that would be something so scary if we didn't understand the loving Savior that we have, that died on the cross for our sins, 3 days later rose from the dead, that we might be saved. So, Father, now as your Spirit continues to work, I ask that you open up your word.
Yes.
And reveal it to us as only you can, and that you would change us into the image of Jesus Christ. Give us that desire deep within us to let go and to let God do what he wants to do. Give us that desire this morning. In your name we can ask this. Amen.
Have you ever been disoriented in the dark? I mean, just totally disoriented. Maybe you woke up in the middle of the night, deep, dark night, and you're in a deep dream, and you're still in that dream, and you can't remember where you're at. I was the corporate data processing manager for Strout Realty, and for some reason, they thought it was a great idea if I visited all the regional offices. So I left Springfield on a Sunday night, arrived in Sacramento, California, spent the night there, had my meeting with them, got on a plane to Denver that evening, spent the evening there, was at Denver for that portion of that day, got on the plane again, flew to Omaha, spent an evening there, got on the plane, went to Sacramento. Sacramento was where I had my problems. Had no idea. I woke up in the middle of the night, had to go to the bathroom bad, and I had no clue where I was at. I mean, no clue. But it was not going to wait long, okay? And so I got up, feeling my way around, found some piece of furniture with my knee. Maybe that's what happened. Found some piece of furniture with my knee and was hurrying to this light that I saw and immediately turned and barked my head on the mirror that was right across from the bathroom that had the nightlight on it. Maybe it was during a storm. You move carefully, don't you? You're unsure where the corner of the wall is, or that door that won't stay shut, or the pointy toys that you forgot to pick up in the middle. Has anybody stepped on a Duplo at night? Or if you're old enough, what about jacks? Remember jacks? Them things, you could have them all picked up except the one you forgot, and you will find it that night. Darkness brings a sense of instability and insecurity, but it also limits our choices. We don't see what's out there. When God was bringing the nation of Israel out of Egypt, one of the curses he put upon Egypt was darkness. In Exodus 10, verse 21, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness extends over Egypt. Darkness that can be felt. Now, I'll tell you, that did not happen in Goshen where the nation of Israel was at. It was only in the area of Egypt. The Amplified Version says, a darkness which is so awful that can be felt. You ever been there? Maybe you've been in a cave. A lot of times in a cave, they'll bring you to a point and they'll turn all the lights out. And man, it just seems like you can feel that darkness. And that sense of relief when the lights come back on, because you got no idea which way to turn. God reminds Pharaoh that there is no darkness like spiritual darkness. As he's fighting against what God's going to do, it's going to happen. God's already said it's going to happen. And he's fighting this as God is trying to get his attention that spiritual darkness is the place that is so limiting. Pharaoh, you have a choice. Choose light, not darkness. It was into this spiritual darkness that God the Father sent his Son, his only unique Son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 4, in him, Jesus was life, and that life was the light of mankind. Can you imagine hearing the words of Jesus, seeing him as he spoke with authority, different than all the others, as he's giving them God in the flesh? How can you grasp that? Matthew 4, verse 16 says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Truth has come to them. And they're seeing it. And now they see that they have some different choices. See, God has shown his light in the dark, desperate world and given mankind a choice in how we live and ultimately what we're responsible for. Exodus chapter 30, 19 through 20. As Moses is calling the nation of Israel back to him as he's about ready to die and they're going into the promised land. This day I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death. What has God set before us? Can you read it up there? Life and death. That's the only two options that he gives us. Blessing and curse. Now choose life. So that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. How, Randy? How can we have this blessed life? He says, love the Lord your God. This speaks of devotion to him alone.
Deuteronomy.
You know me. You'll find it somewhere in there. Love the Lord your God. Be devoted to him. Listen to his voice with the intent of obeying. Not just knowing, but obeying. Hold fast to him when life attacks your mind and your senses. Knowing he is your life. Be settled there. You're not looking for anything else. You're looking for him. Hear Moses tell them, choose the foundation stones of your life carefully. It matters the decisions you make, who you listen to, what direction your life is going. Be sure you know what stones you're building upon. Jesus has been shining God's word and wisdom into the life of the nation of Israel. The religious leaders have been ignoring him, fighting him. The regular people are going, this sounds a lot like God. And he's saying there's still two options, blessing or curse. And it depends upon your choices. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. That one's true. Verse 24. Now Jesus has been teaching on the side of a mountain. It's part of the Beatitudes and all of that. And as a result, they're challenging him. And he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rolled, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Notice the two choices here. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, we know these. We know this parable. We've studied this parable all of our lives. We know that there's a foundation to be built on sand and this foundation on rock. We've taught that. But Father, this morning we want to look that it's the choices we make. The single, simple, everyday choices that allows us to be blessed or cursed. That's the two options. So now I pray that the mind of each one here be underneath the control of the Spirit, that we may sense and hear your word, and I thank you in your name. Amen. Verse 29, Jesus taught as one with authority, not as teachers of the law. He would say something like, you have heard it say this, but I tell you, this is what it means. So he was not teaching as the rabbis did. He was teaching with the authority he gave the law. You have been created with the ability to choose, and yes, you will be held accountable for that, those choices. God has given each one of us the ability to choose the direction of our lives. You get to choose the path, the direction, and it will greatly influence those who come behind you. One way leads to life, while the other leads to destruction. Those are the words of Jesus, not mine. So the first question Jesus had asked the crowd was, where are you going? Where are you going? Where's your life going? What direction is it pointed? You get to choose what voice you listen to. There are all kinds of voices in our world today. There wasn't back then. And they're all claiming to know the truth. They're claiming to be God's voice. There are preachers out there who contrary to God's word, are saying what they believe and they want. They are telling you they know the truth, or this party, or that party. Philosophers out there in their great wisdom are telling you how to believe. Friends will tell you how to believe. Books, movies, music, all of that. But Jesus said in verse 21, look at this carefully. As you're choosing who to listen to, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, or I speak for God, or I know God. We enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? That you will believe upon the only Son of God. That's the will of God. And upon believing that you will follow after Him, be His disciple if you will, imitate His life in the life that God has given you. That's the will of the Father. Not to spout what you want or what you think, but what does Jesus say? So the second question that Jesus asked the crowd is, who are your guides? Who are you looking to for truth? Who's filling your mind, filling your heart? The third question Jesus asked is, where are your choices taking you today? Where are your choices taking you? The path you choose determines whether or not you find the way that leads to life and blessing, the choices that you make. The teacher you choose to listen to demonstrates whether or not you will find the truth that your eternal security rests upon or depends upon. And what your choices rest upon determines whether or not you will build a life surrounded by blessing. Whether this life is difficult or not, you can still be surrounded by the blessing of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, depending on your choices. Jesus says there's only two options. Make your choices carefully. One is making choices based upon the solid truth of Jesus Christ. Strong and secure today and eternally secure tomorrow. The second is making a choice using the shifting, changing sand of human logic, truth, which will ultimately end in disaster. You saw that during the COVID outbreak. You had all sorts of truth, depending on which side you listen to, and it kept shifting. That is mankind. As they do not understand, God is only one who knows the beginning from the end. And as a result, when He tells you something, it is true. He has seen it all the way through. Verse 24, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The first key word is everyone. Everyone has the responsibility to listen and to choose correctly. The second key word, who hears the words of mine. Hears them not just to understand the nouns and the verbs and all of that, but they're taking it in. They're listening intently. How do I apply it to my life? What does it mean today? And the third key phrase puts them into practice. Not just hears them. Not just understands them, but actually puts them into practice. It takes all three of these for God to be able to say, you're a wise man, or a wise woman, or you're a wise life builder. Because you're listening, and you're practicing what I have instructed. Jesus describes these foundations as strong, immovable, secure, able to handle whatever this life throws at it. Jesus tells us that there's storms coming. You know that. There's storms coming in life, and it's the purpose of the storms is to rattle your foundations, is to try and shift you one way or the other. You really don't know the condition of your life choices until it has weathered the storms of life. You understand God's word. You understand he will never leave you nor forsake you. But until you have been in that position where he is all you've got, and you know that he did not leave you, and he know that he did not forsake you, and you know that he gave you that power, folks, you're ready for the next storm. Life tornadoes and hurricanes are coming. I want to blow you away. Earthquakes want to rattle you, and fires want to destroy you. Floods will come to destroy. Its purpose is to eat away at your foundation. So the question is, will your life foundation be secure, or will it begin to crumble based upon the building blocks you used for it? If you will hold, if you hear with the determination to obey what God is instructing you in his word through the Spirit of God, and you put them into practice. Oh, that's the difficult part. Every boy wants to play basketball. Every boy wants to play basketball. But not every boy wants to practice. They want to go out there and they want to shoot the three-pointers and they want to throw it up and they want to do all sorts of things. It takes a coach to get them in line to teach them the skills necessary so that they may play according to their age and they'll be ready for the next side. That's what Jesus is saying. You put them into practice. You hear the words of God and you practice what he is instructing you. Verse 25, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had a foundation on the rock. It was built upon the word of Jesus Christ. It was built upon the faith that he has given you. It was strong. Was it hard? Yes. Did the house shake? Yes. But it held. Because your faith is in the word of Jesus Christ and the character of Jesus Christ. Folks, this is a promise to you from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This isn't a what if or I hope so. He has promised you that if you will make the choices to build your life upon the foundation of him, he will hold you no matter what this life throws at you. So where are your choices taking you? I want you to also know it's not just what you know, but what you choose to practice. Read that again. It's not just what you know. Many people know about Scripture. The whole world knows about the birth of Jesus Christ. But it matters not to them. Now that you've heard the teaching of Jesus, what will you change or what choices will you make in your life to adhere to that? It's your choice. He's not going to take that from you. But what choice will you make? We live in a day where there is enormous amount of biblical, and I'm going to say spiritual knowledge. Enormous out there. You can jump on Google or whatever you use, and you can just, you get thousands of people and ideas and knowledge that is out there. But it's not what you know that gives your life a firm foundation, but what you know and practice in your daily life. Practice does not mean perfection, does it? Please don't hear that. It means practice. And when I fail to make this layup, I'm gonna work hard and get the right form to make the next one using the same basketball analogy. Jesus described the second life choices in verse 26. But everyone who hears the words of mine, notice both groups hear Jesus. Don't miss that. This is not, well, somebody in New Guinea has never heard the words of Christ. Both hear the words of Jesus. One decides to put them in the practice. The other one does not put them in the practice. Is like a foolish man who built his rock on sand. His house looks good. I mean, it looks just as good as the other one. Until the hard times come. It's similar. Except with these words, and or but, he does not put them into practice. Doesn't do what the word says. And once again, notice the word practice in there. They hear the word Jesus, but then they choose to practice them in their daily life. They set that up on their Sunday stuff. But head knowledge, got all sorts of that, but not heart or working knowledge. They are not building their lives on the wisdom and the teaching of Jesus Christ. They are gathering information. It's good to have information. But it will profit you little when the storms come. When the storms of life come, the structure will be stressed and ultimately destroyed. It's not just what you know, but what you practice that allows your life to stand solid. They are going to come. You know that. Some harder than others, but they are going to come. Good news. If you've built your house or you've built your life upon the sands, you can begin rebuilding it. That weak foundation today. There are some things you're going to have to unlearn. How you have taken the wisdom of man, and that's how you've been making your decisions. You're going to have to learn, unlearn some things. You're going to have to learn some traits that's going to be fought put into your life. You're going to need to practice these new teachings. You can leave the way of destruction today and begin walking that new way of life. That is yours today. Consequences because of the way I have lived? Yeah, there will be some. But he's telling you, you can begin to make your foundation strong and secure today. You can begin listening to the words of Jesus and applying them. You can find your life foundation more secure even starting today. You build a solid foundation, though, brick or decision at a time, over a period of time. You build it brick at a time, decision at a time, over a period of time. A strong foundation is impossible. Impossible without the salvation offered by God through Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. You must be saved. You must have that Spirit dwelled within you. You must have your sins forgiven. That is impossible to do without it. But once upon salvation, I wish I could tell you that once you make that decision, you will instantly have a strong foundation. Doesn't work that way. It's got to be built. I'm saved, Randy. That's all I need. No. Your strong foundation must be built. What has happened is accepting Jesus just gives you access to His bricks. And the Spirit of God being the supervision of your life. And He's telling you to take those bricks of wisdom and begin building your foundation upon them. Salvation is instantaneous. Those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you believe in your heart that Jesus has risen from the dead, you will be saved. It's instantaneous. But I'm telling you, discipleship is lifelong. Lifelong. And to have that solid foundation of faith, you must go beyond Jesus as Savior to Jesus as my Lord and Master. The church is full of those who have accepted Jesus, but they've not stepped into that disciple role. And as a result, there's very little difference between them and the outside world. Randy, I'm saved. You're going to struggle. Your life is not strong. That's why it's called discipleship. You must learn of Jesus. Who is He? Well, He's my Savior. Now, who is He? Well, is He really the Son of God? You've got to learn of Him. Who is He? What is His character? Can you trust Him? That are things you've got to find in His Word and apply to your life, because it's going to be hard to do that when the storms are gathering. You've got to learn who He is, what He has done, why He has done what He has done, what He has promised. But you've also got to learn from Him. How do you live this life? How did Jesus live this life? Well, he can't know what it was like to live in 2022. Solomon said that there is nothing new under the sun when it comes to mankind. Yes, we got new toys. Yes, we got more info on how things work. But when it comes to mankind and sin and a decision, there's nothing new. You've got to learn from Him. How did Jesus respond here? What does His word say there? How should we do it here? Underneath the guidance of the Holy Spirit, He will teach us how we are to walk, how do we respond, what direction there is for our life. It builds a strong foundation that no matter where He takes us, we're secure. No matter what He allows into our life, we are secure. We may not like it, but we're secure because He has got it. But it must be done over a period of time. I'd like to tell you that once you're saved, man, you got a strong foundation. No, you've got a brick. But your foundation must also be tested. You got to know that it'll withstand the storms. You got to know that it's there. Danger, Will Robson, danger. The solid foundation you built can become weak brick at a time. Weak. You may have spent a good portion of your life building on the wisdom of God. And now you find your children gone, because a lot of times that's what we're doing. We come to church because our children need this and that. And we've built that strong foundation, and the children are gone, and life has gotten a little easier, and now we get lazy. We must protect from becoming sloppy Christians. We no longer go to His Word on a day-to-day basis. We no longer go for Him to find strength. We no longer attend His services. We get sloppy in our Christian life. But we also get lazy. We were active in His service when our kids were smaller. We were actively doing things in the church. We were actively attending. And for some reason, when the kids get out, we think, okay, we're done. No! You've now got time that God can use. But we also must be careful of the prideful, I've got it all figured out, Christian. No one has it all figured out. No one. And as a result, we must go to His Word daily. We must go to Him in prayer. We must trust Him. And we must continually watch over the building and the foundation we have made, protecting it so that it will be there when the hard times come. So what choices have we been presented today? Where are you going? Where's your life going? What direction is it heading? You get to choose that. Who are you listening to? Is Jesus the primary and overriding voice? Doesn't matter what I say. What does His Word say? Is His the overriding voice? Well, Randy, I don't know if I believe that today. What does Jesus say? What does the Bible say? That's the truth we hold on to. What foundation are you choosing to build on? What foundation? We had a house in Springfield, Missouri, Whiteside. We'd been there 18 years, long time. And it was up off the street a ways, but all of a sudden the garage floor started cracking. Water couldn't get under there from the street. Behind our house, it was kind of a slope. So that was kind of puzzling to us. What would happen? And it got cracking more and cracking more. It got some big cracks in there. And then people started telling us, well, it's because the contractor would put their spare wood and their trash there, and then they would cover over it. Well, that makes sense, I guess. It got so bad, it cracked and would not hold the weight of the car. You know what we discovered? There was a little bitty stream of water that came down the side of the house and under it. Just a little stream. You couldn't see it. It makes no sense at all. But in the course of those 18 years, it began to take the solidity of that garage floor away. Until it finally fell in. Folks, it's usually not something large that takes us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's those little bitty streams that keeps taking away the foundation, that keeps bringing in that idea that God can't be trusted or that you've got it all taken care of. It's the, as Solomon said, it's the little foxes in the field that brings destruction. Choices. You have the ability to choose. Don't get distracted by the cares of this world. Jesus has that taken care of. Don't get distracted by the things that's going on in your life. He knows where He's taking you. You don't. Don't be distracted when life gets easier. Choose you this day who you will serve, is what Joshua said to the nation of Israel. If you want to serve the gods of the Egyptians, that's your choice. That's your choice. But for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to make sure my family does, because I'm going to train them. Be their choice. But I'm going to live in such a fashion that they see Jesus in me. I'm going to live in such a fashion that they see the Word of God active in my life, so that they will know what that looks like, so they may not struggle with the things that I did. So the Word of God this morning is choose carefully. Where's your life going? What truth are you listening to? And build that strong foundation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that we make those choices this morning. Whether this is accept you as Savior, or whether it's to begin a life of discipleship, or whatever that voice is saying in my head right now, I will choose to follow you. I will choose to see my life through your eyes. I will choose to respond to this world as you responded. I will hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will hold fast to the Word of God. And when what's being told to me differs from what your Word says, I will hold fast to your Word. Father, it's too easy to hear the Word and not practice it. So I pray this morning we make that decision in our heart to practice and to begin learning from you as a good coach, that we may begin to lay a strong foundation of faith in my life, in the life of my family, in the life of my children that will come behind me. And that's what we're calling to do today. Choose, and choose carefully. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Amen.